the difference between knowledge and wisdom is experience. You know, it's that guy, Robbie, that you took out in New York City and said, now you've echoed this and you've parroted this. Now do this. Mm-hmm. And you send them back out to have another interaction again, doing it differently this time. It's what I tell people. It's the reason why you pay someone like Robbie to be there with you in field. It's why you spend that extra money and go in field and do live training. It's because you want someone standing there holding you accountable to take action. So that you can experience this knowledge, these skill sets, these tools, and these techniques in a way that becomes wisdom and not just knowledge floating around in your head.
I like that definition.
Wisdom is just knowledge plus experience.
Yeah, or equation, I guess I should have said.
And by the way, in case anyone wants to know where I got that from, I didn't actually get this from that, but I got, it's a book called Emotional Equations. One of the best books on human emotion I've ever read. And it's actually not even by like a trained psychologist or sociologist. It's actually by a guy who used to build boutique hotels. But it is one of the best books on human emotion I've ever read. And what he does is he actually takes human emotions and breaks them down into equations.
That's really cool.
So I actually came up with, come up with some of my own equations. And that, and one of them is that to me, is that knowledge is just information, but it's not, it doesn't become wisdom until it's stored in your neurology, until it's stored in your body, until it's stored in your experience. And the only way to do that is to actually take action. And then once you do that, you discover where the rubber meets the road, where that knowledge becomes reality.
Right.
And then I'm sorry, go ahead, Robbie.
No, go on.
Okay, and then I can sort of finish this exercise up for all you guys that are on the call. The fourth thing, or the final thing, once you've asked and you've done all this and you've echoed, is then alignment, which is you then align yourself or take action on what they've asked of you. So there you are, you're in a conversation, you know, your partner, your lover is looking at you and saying, you know, shit, in our relationship is not where I want it to be. And you're like, okay, okay, I understand completely. Thank you, like, for being willing to share that with me. I mean, I can't, you know, it looks like you're really upset by something that's going on between you and I right now. And I'm so glad that you didn't, you know, hold this in, that you actually were willing to communicate this to me. What shit are you talking about? What do you mean by shit specifically? You said some shit is happening in our relationship that you're not okay with. What's that some shit specifically? You know, then they give the response. You then do the acknowledge, appreciate, ask again, and you keep running that cycle until you really do feel like you've got a good grip on or a good handle on what it is that your partner is asking for, talking about. Now's the hard part. You got to fucking do it.
Earlier.
Yeah, you got to actually change. You got to actually align yourself or come into agreement with what it is that your partner's requesting of you. And sometimes, and this has happened to me in a lot of my previous relationships, sometimes the request they're making of me is not one I'm willing to give. I'm not, yeah. I'm like, okay, I hear you. But I'm not, that's not me. And I'm not willing to become something that I'm not. So, I gotta help you find someone who is, and let them go, and let them go because you love them. Don't hold them because you love them. Let them go because you love them. And because they're essentially trying to turn you into something you're not. So you have to love yourself enough to say, God, I care about you, but I care about myself more, and I love who I am. And I don't want to change that quality that you want me to change. So I think this is done, or I think we should discuss how we can part ways in a way and in a positive and loving and fostering way. So just go ahead.
A much better conversation than I'd say 99.99999% of how that would go otherwise. Right.
Yeah, nobody starts with acknowledgement. Are you shitting me? Somebody comes up and says, you know, there's some shit happening in our relationship, and the first thought you have in your head is fuck you.
Yeah.
It's a defense mechanism. Because what you think the person is saying to you is you're making a mistake. You are the wrong one. And that's not what they actually communicated. They said some shit is coming up in the relationship that's causing them to feel a certain way. Your shit was the thing that made you believe that it was all about you fucking up and not about what may be happening just in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Which is where that inner game that I was talking about earlier meets that outer game. And where are you monitoring your own beliefs in order to bring that into harmony or bring that into balance with the beliefs of the other person, so that you're not clouding your own judgment by putting blinders on yourself to how you're being.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, just leads you to end a lot of relationships. Just relationships just continue to end until you get to this point where you're like, fuck, man, maybe it's me. You know?
Yeah.
So once again, just to go over those four steps as a part of the exercise, it's just, you know, step number one is acknowledge. Step number two is appreciate. Step number three is ask. And ask is made up of three questions. What do you mean by X specifically? How do you know when X is occurring? Or how will you know when I'm loyal? Or how will you know when I'm being respectful? And then the third question is, and how will you feel when I am? Or how will you feel when I do? And then the fourth step is alignment or agreement or action. And I think they're all the same. When you agree with what they're talking about, you will naturally want to take action on that because of your love for that person or your desire to connect with that person, and that thus bring you and them into better alignment.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that fourth step is kind of all of them together.
Right. And well, I'll ask the question, but is there anything else to the exercise?
There's a fuck ton more. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, it sounds like a lot of the exercise is like connection triggers built in, or the exercise is a connection trigger. How does that?
So connection triggers are more like, and I'm sure that I'm repeating stuff that you guys understand, but connection triggers are more like checkpoints. They're more like experiences that you can create with an individual or a group of individuals in any context that allows a connection to deepen. So for me, this exercise is a connection trigger that it's actually a level 3 connection trigger, which is create an experience of understanding. So when you truly create an experience of deep understanding with someone, it's a level 3. It's a level 3/level 4, depending upon your level of relationship with the individual, a level 3/level 4 connection trigger. And this is just an exercise that can fall underneath that trigger. Gotcha. This is just one exercise. Another one that can fall underneath that is going to see someone's play. So like if you're if you're like friends with somebody and you want to create an experience that of better understanding, show up to their play or their musical or whatever that hobby is or their performances, show up without being asked. And then when they come out into the audience and they see you, they're going to be like, oh my God, you came. And you're like, yeah, I mean, it's important to you and I wanted to understand you better. So I thought it would be really, really cool if I came and just experienced what you experience. And now the connection has deepened.
Yeah, I like how you define that too. You know, cause it's, you definitely, like for me, for example, I wanted Carly to come watch me play hockey one time, for, you know, more than one time, but when she did, it was so cool to have her there because even though she doesn't know anything about hockey, She doesn't even know what the fuck she's watching. Part of me, I don't know, like, I want her to watch me having that experience because I love it so much. But the way you described it, it makes a lot more sense.
Well, and there's the appreciation again. You just want her to appreciate a very important aspect of your identity, of who you are, of something that helps define you.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, doesn't it make total sense that when she shows up to see you, even if she doesn't know what's going on, she's basically communicating to you, I have no vested interest in this at all other than you.
Right.
And that's a very profound communication that goes largely unverbalized. It's not mm-hmm. verbal. It's actually nonverbal. And so it's a connection trigger that's action based.
Right.
It just happens that this exercise I gave to all of you is a verbal based exercise that creates the same level of deep connection.
Are there any connection triggers that you like? I mean, are there any that are really useful for like the first 2 minutes when you first meet someone? And someone asked a question about that.
Oh my God, there's a ton. You guys want some of those? Is that something that everyone's interested in hearing? Because if so, I can give you guys some real quick, easy ones.
Sure.
Okay. First and foremost, touch. Just touching someone on the shoulder. Like saying, you know, like literally reaching out, touching them on the shoulder and saying, you know, like saying something to them, it communicates, hey, I'm safe. So if you touch someone on the shoulder and then pull your hand off of them and they turn around and you go, hey, how are you today? Right? The fact that you touched them and took your hand away from them is already taking you deeper as a connection trigger. That's a level one connection trigger. But we actually identify it as a building block for all connection. Physical touch is very, very important depending upon what society you grew up in. So physical touch is a great way to deepen connection almost immediately. How about an authentic question?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of walking up to somebody and saying, hey, how are you today? Which is, it's a question you ask, but is it really like a deep, authentic question? Or is that just something that you say all the time? You know, what it does is it taps into people's favorite topic, which is always themselves. So when you ask, you know what I mean? When you say to somebody, hey, can I ask you, I know that we just met like literally 6 seconds ago or something like that, but I wanted to ask you like a pretty deep question. Feel free to tell me to shove off if you want, but I was just wondering something. Do you think that someone's choice in coffee preference says something about their personality? And do you have a coffee preference that you think relates to your personality?
That's cool.
Okay. It's just the first question that came into my head, but that's an authentic question. I'm asking for something deeper.
Mm-hmm.
So an authentic question can create that, but it can also create creeper syndrome. You know, like you walk up to a girl and you're like, what's your panty size? you may be extremely interested. And it may be an authentic question, but if I were you, I would duck because you're about to get beat. So
I have a very authentic question. I'm really interested in it.
Yeah, what's your bra size? So can that create connection? Yeah, it depends on the context. I have walked up and the first question out of my mouth has been, what's your bra size? And it has turned into a very deep connection with that individual. But I was monitoring the context pretty heavily.
Right.
And I said it in a way that was really playful, like really playful. Mm-hmm. And to highlight what Derek was saying earlier, I justified the question. So I walked up to the girl and I'm like, excuse me. And she turns around and I said, what's your bra size? I mean, the reason I'm asking is because my girlfriend, she's not my girlfriend. She's a girlfriend of mine. It's her birthday and I wanted to buy her a gag gift and I wanted to buy her like this gag bra from Spencer's Gifts as a sort of novelty, and you look to be about the same size. Okay. First off, she turned around ready to beat me. And then when I justified it, she ended up laughing her ass off. Yeah. And after that, we had a really awesome connection, and we ended up spending the rest of that night talking. It was really awesome. It didn't actually turn into anything later, but it was a really great way to sort of start the conversation off.
Were you actually buying a friend of yours a gift, or was
just like, no, that was not a lie. I was absolutely buying my friend a gag bra gift. So no, I'm a big believer in not lying to women, because they can see right through it. So it's they've got way more experience on it than we do. So anytime I see a guy lie to a girl, I'm like, that was dumb. And he's like, why? And I'm like, the golden rule. And he goes, what? I said, they always find out.
Yeah.
They always find out. So it's that's my golden rule. I'm like, they're always going to find out. So there's no point in lying like that. Like just be straight up. They're going to appreciate it. Yeah. Well, they are, essentially. They have to be, because how many guys hit on a pretty girl per day? See, guys don't even think about that. Like, if we get hit on by a girl, we're like, oh my God, life just got better. Because it never happens. Like, if it does happen, it's like a rare, it's like once in a blue moon. But for a woman, it's probably between 100 and 200 times a day, especially if she's pretty. So it's like you have to almost justify it by being honest. That way you separate yourself from the rest of the skeezy guys that hit on them, because you're confident enough to say, I'm willing to be honest and don't really give a shit whether or not you approve of me. Yep. I'm going to ask you the question anyway. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Cool. And do you guys want more? I just don't know where the guys are at on the call. Does everybody want more of this stuff, or?
I think everyone got muted.
Okay.
Who wants pizza?
Hey guys, you guys want more of this stuff, or do you guys have any questions, or is any way anything I can answer for you, or?
Sure, one more. Hey. I guess. One more wouldn't hurt.
Okay, one more. I can give you one more. In fact, I got another 12 more I can give you. Let me give you another one. Approval. Approval is such a really brilliant way. It's a brilliant level one connection trigger. And I want you to think about this. Who held the power in medieval Europe? So back in the medieval Europe days, back in ancient history, who held the power? What was it? The knights? Was it the barons? Was it the kings? That's what we were trained to believe, right? We're trained to believe it's the kings and the queens. But when you look at the paintings from that era, who was the ruling elite crowned by? Who placed the crown on the king's head?
The priest, what, right?
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it. The bishop, right? The bishop or the cardinal, the priest, so to speak. And so consequently, the clergy really held the ultimate control. So you can put a crown on a person's head by giving them a spotlight, by giving them a spot in the limelight, either by giving them personal praise or, for compound effect, like if you want to make it even bigger, an actual stage to stand on where they can soak in the praise of others. So I'll give you an example of this. I was at a hypnosis conference during the summertime, August. And I remember one of the hypnotists, he's super famous in the industry, and I really wanted to befriend him, although he and I had never met before. So what I did is basically joined him and a group of individuals that were going out to see a hypnosis show by a guy called Mark Savard, who's a very famous hypnotist, a stage hypnotist in Las Vegas. And we're all out, and this gentleman that I'm talking about, who I'd spoken to, I think maybe once, went over to Mark Savard's, to the theater to get us all our tickets for the show when we had all been given these like free vouchers. So they're basically the tickets were for free because, you know, it's like a bunch of hypnotists going to see a hypnotist. He hooked us up basically. But this guy, upgraded all of us. So instead of us getting the free tickets, which is like the, you sit all the way in the back, this guy decided he would buy us all the upgraded seats. Okay. And I noticed this because I was paying attention. So when we walked back into the restaurant again, in front of all of the, you know, all of the hypnotists are sitting around the table all talking, I said, "Ladies and gentlemen, can I get your attention, please?" And everyone turned and looked at me and I said, this guy's name, I said, let's just call him Jason. I said, "Jason just hooked us all up. He just handled all of us. He just got us that upgrade. And so we're all going to be sitting front and center for the show tonight." And everyone started applauding him. Okay. What I was doing was showing him everyone's approval of him and his action and his choice. Even though he wanted to downplay it, I gave him a spot in the limelight for a moment. To this day, he still checks in with me at least once a month just to say, "What's up?"
Wow.
So approval. This can be as simple as you're standing next to a VIP lounge, right? There's the bouncer standing there keeping people at the bar out of the VIP, and you look back to the guy whose party it is, and you go, "Oh man, nice." And the guy goes, "What?" And you go, "Good choice of alcohol." Okay, it can be as simple as showing approval like that of someone's choices of the way they dress. It's basically you expressing to them a positive judgment in the form of a metaphorical yes. Like, I'm judging you positively by showing you this metaphorical yes, by approving of you in some fashion. And when you do that, it opens up an opportunity for more conversation and for deeper connection.
Yeah. For sure. That's cool that the guy still checks up on you.
Yeah, he still checks in. It's really cool, actually. I never expected that kind of thing because he and I actually don't work in the same industry like I had originally thought we would. So I thought it was going to be a really cool business connection to have. But unfortunately, the level of business he's doing is just different than where I'm at in the industry. So he's just turned into a really cool personal connection. But who knows? That might turn professional again a year from now, or 6 months from now, or even a week from now. It just depends on the nature of where our businesses go. So the cool thing is that the connection's open now.
Totally.
Yeah. So has this been useful for you guys?
Been useful for me.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Glad to hear it. Do you guys have any questions? Is there anything I can answer for you?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
About when you talked about the appreciation.
Appreciation, yeah.
Yeah. How you forget, like, how you say it without you say thanks?
Okay, so how many different ways can I appreciate?
Yeah.
I can give a gift.
Well, so, I'm talking about, like, my issue is, like, how the first connection, like, for the first time you meet people, I lose that connection.
Oh, so, got it. So you're talking about when we first meet.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I just introduced to this guy or this girl in the street or whatever the event is. And so you want to build that connection and to make, like, social life.
Do you know what you can do is try That's Cool. Because it's the same thing. It's a lingo. It's a little slang in especially in Southern California. It's definitely slang. But like the girl, you know, the girl says something and you go, "Oh, okay. Well, that's cool." That it can be simple like that. You know, if a girl tells you, like, if you ask a woman, like, you know, "What's your favorite color?" And she tells you blue and you go, "Oh, thank you so much for sharing that." You're going to seem like a creeper. And the reason for that is because she didn't actually share anything of real depth. So your appreciation of her sharing needs to match the level of the information she shared. Does that make sense? So it can be as simple as a compliment. Yeah. Like, "Oh, that was really sweet of you." or that's cool, or huh, interesting. You know, appreciation doesn't necessarily have to be shown through the words thank you. You could also say the words, well that means a lot to me. You know, just expressing what that meant to you is a level of appreciation as well. Sid, I don't know if you're one of the guys that's on our Connection Triggers training, because I didn't get to see your name wasn't on our webinar this morning. But as we're going through the Connection Triggers training, I'm going to be sharing much more about how to deepen it using appreciation or using a connection trigger. So like, let's say the girl does share, she shares her favorite color is blue. And I can go and use a very deep appreciation, but I'm going to have to connect it to something deeper. So I'm going to say, I could say something to her like, I can't believe you just shared your favorite color with a complete stranger. That is so sexy. God, what you're confident. And what I'm doing, Sid, is I'm playing with her. So I'm playing with it by making it seem as if the color, her favorite color, is a deep topic when it's not. And I do that with a smile on my face. And when you do it with a smile on your face, I'm essentially poking fun. I'm teasing her.
Okay.
And so you can play with appreciation a lot of different ways. I challenge you, Sid, to go out and fucking play with it. Just see what happens. Start appreciating different ways. Start trying to take the so get a shallow answer or a surface answer, and show deep appreciation and see if the person gets creeped out by it. You know, if they get creeped out by it, go on to the next conversation. Do the same thing and see if you can't find a way to say the deep appreciation in a way they'll accept it. And then it becomes a game. Yeah. You know, so just play with it. You know, the connection triggers are all around you. They happen all the time. I often say this, and I said this on the webinar this morning, and I'm sure Derek can verify this. I said this morning. I said, not all connection triggers fit to all contexts. You're going to have to play with this stuff. Take action on it, or it's useless. It's just going to sit there as information in the back of your head. And remember, and this is the big thing I said, Marcus and I didn't create these. We just spotted them. We identified them and flushed them out. Like, we brought them out into the limelight to look at them and then went, cool, how do they interact? And so we're basically trying to dissect the blueprint of human social communication and interaction. And that's all connection triggers are. But until somebody brings your conscious mind's attention to it, it floats in the background. And you get to be one of those people that just doesn't understand why you can't connect as deeply or as intimately as other people. Well, you never learn this. So how are you supposed to know what you don't know?
So this is to be a cycle?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you mean by cycle? Do you mean the Connection Triggers webinar training that we're offering, or cycle as in the acknowledge, appreciate, ask?
The acknowledgement, appreciation, and then ask, and then align.
Yes, that's a cycle, and you run it as a cycle. But once again, the reason that I brought this exercise up and the reason that I said it today was because what the topic of conversation that we were speaking about in Mexico was on relationship mastery. So I don't generally use this cycle at the beginning of a communication, at the beginning of a connection, because there's no investment. There's no emotional investment coming from them yet.
Then how I can get, like, can you guide me to a way that I can learn the first connection, like how to make the connection? Because usually when people used to get to know me, then it's easy for me to communicate.
Got it. Well, Robbie's a great, you're in the right place, first and foremost. Robbie's an amazing communicator, and he's very, very good at interacting. And so, and he's especially good from what I've heard from Marcus too, that in starting conversations too with complete strangers. So you're actually in the right place by learning from Robbie. But if you want, you can hop on the webinar in the webinar series that Marcus and I are offering, and we can and the connection triggers, we can show you and teach you as well. So there's a lot of opportunities there. You can also get books if you want. I can get, you know, there's three or four books that you can probably read that can help you on the topic as well.
Yeah, sure.
And buddy, it was good timing actually, because Sid just joined the program, what, 2 or 3 days ago.
So oh, Sid, congratulations. Welcome to the game.
Thank you so much. And, yeah, because it's like...
So both of those guys, and then some of the other guys on the call, I know we're not on the call with Marcus. So can you tell everyone a little bit more about the course and, you know, how to join and all that? I mean, I'll tell them as well, but, you know, that's better hearing from the horse's mouth.
Yeah, basically it's a 6-week webinar series, and it's every Sunday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I would say Pacific Daylight Time now, or is that correct? We've moved times today. Yeah. And what we're doing is we're basically taking all of the different connection triggers and we're breaking them down and we're teaching them one by one, all of the different connection triggers as we move up the different levels from complete stranger to deep intimacy. So, have you ever, Sid, have you ever met somebody that just people just are attracted to them? Like you can't put your finger on why, but for some reason they walk into the room and it's like the whole room wants to get to know them.
Yes, I have seen that.
Those individuals don't know this, but they're practicing connection triggers. And so Marcus and I said, well, if they can do it on accident, how cool would it be if we could take this and make it surgical? Make it methodical, make it strategic. If we could take these natural occurring experiences and happenstances and make them plannable so that you can structure them, so that you can actually design them. So this 6-week webinar series is about all of the different connection triggers that Marcus and I have spent the last 3 years playing with and experimenting with. In every different context, in every different culture. I mean, we've practiced this stuff on 3 continents. And now if you want to add Central America, which of course Central America could be considered North America or South America, I would consider it its own place because it's so different than the rest of North America. 4 continents that we've used these techniques, these triggers to create deep connections with people. And so the webinar series is all about how you can start implementing and practicing these connection triggers in your own life in order to develop deeper relationships with members of potential partners, members of the opposite sex or same sex, or business, whether it's whittled down to business or even your own children. So it's these connection triggers literally are how we as human beings connect on a societal level. I just realized that I didn't give the price. It's $497, 6 weeks, 6-week webinar. And we're recording all of the webinars. So not only will you be able to attend the webinar, but you'll also have a recording of all of them. Because as you can probably tell over the last hour that we've been speaking, Marcus and I have a lot of content to share. So it can be a lot that we'll present. And so we wanted to make sure that we made the recordings available to you guys so that you could go back and listen to them again and again and again to tease out all of the content that we're offering.
Are you guys holding this in LA?
No, we're doing this. It's a webinar, so you can chime in anywhere, coast to coast, or even more. If you're in Japan or Singapore, you can do the same thing. You just gotta hop in on the webinar.
Oh, okay.
Much like you are here, it's like a conference call, okay. Except more of a webinar series.
Okay.
Anyone else have any other questions? Oh, and by the way, if you guys want to sign up, just I'll post in the group.
Can you?
And,
can you? Yeah.
Let me know right after the call. Okay. Has anyone else have any other questions? There's a bunch of other guys on.
If you guys have anything, you have my attention. I'm more than willing to answer whatever questions you may have right now.
I just want to know how I can get access to the webinar that I missed this morning.
Oh, dude, no problem. Let me here, actually, as we're sitting here talking, I will send a message to our web guy and get him to email that out.
Awesome. I think your name was, might have been my fault for maybe not putting your name on there, Sergio, but I don't remember. I have to check. So yeah, make sure you get that too.
Okay.
Anything else, guys? Anyone else?
Okay. No, that's a sign. That's a sign that, our conversation was complete. I love that. I love that we came to a place where there's no questions. That means you guys, I hope, had an opportunity to really let that soak in and that everything makes sense to you. That's the ultimate goal.
Yeah. No, man, it's been awesome having you on. Thank you so much for sharing your Sunday with us.
No, of course. Thanks a ton, Robbie, for having me on, man. It was such an amazing opportunity to get a chance to share this stuff with your group and to have the platform to share my voice. So I really appreciate it. It's great hearing your voice again. Good, sir.
You too, my friend. So yeah, we'll be in touch, and thanks for everyone for joining the call. And I'll ping the post in the group. So if anyone wants to sign up, I highly, highly recommend it. The guys who were on the call earlier fucking loved it. And, you know, it's
Johnny doing the course
so far. Joel, Derek, Sergio. I forget. There's going to be more too. I think there's six guys signed up so far. So
awesome.
Get on it, guys. Thanks, Johnny. And I'll talk to you, everyone, later.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great rest of your day. Cheers.
Hey, we're coming to San Diego today.
Yeah, we're going to
hit you. Really?
Yeah.
Hey, text me.
Okay. All right, we'll be there for a few days.
Okay, cool. I'll see you guys soon.
Bye, Johnny. Bye, guys.
Bye, Carly. Wait.